you can host the best backyard barbecue. When you find a professional on Angie to make your backyard the best around. Connect with skilled professionals to get all your home projects done well. Inside to outside, repairs to renovations. Get started on the Angie app or visit Angie.com today. You can do this when you Angie that.
Today's episode is brought to you by Angie. Angie has made it easier than ever to connect with skilled professionals to get all your jobs and projects done well. Let me tell you, there's the version of it where you try to do something at home, and then there's a version of it where you have someone help you, you watch them do it the right way, and you go, thank God I didn't try to do that myself. I have fully done things around the home that I think look good, and then a bang in the night, and I wake up to a shelf collapsing, a painting falling off the wall. Like, it, I've seen it all go south. I own a home, and I can tell you, I know how much work it can take. Whether it's everyday maintenance and repairs or making dream projects a reality, it can be hard just to know where to start. But now all you need to do is Angie that and find a skilled local pro who will deliver the quality and expertise you need. Whatever your home project, big or small, indoor or outdoor, you can Angie that and connect with skilled professionals to get the project done well. Right now, one of my wish lists is I want a bike for my condo in Milwaukee, and I would love to rig it up on a pulley in the ceiling because I have one of those like lofted ceilings, but I'm so scared to try that on my own. Angie has 20 years of home experience and they've combined it with new tools to simplify the whole process. Bring them your project online or with the Angie app. Answer a few questions and Angie can handle the rest from start to finish or help you compare quotes from multiple pros and connect instantly, which means you can take care of any home project in just a few taps. Because when it comes to getting the most out of your home, you can do this when you Angie that. Download the free Angie mobile app today or visit Angie.com. That's A-N-G-I.com.
Oh, and recording, because I just don't know why I wouldn't push record button.
Oh my goodness. I'm trying to find questions. Of course, I'm in my glasses on, so I can't see.
While you're looking, let me tell you a funny story.
Oh, please do.
So, have you ever been going through security at the airport and they pull your bag? They need to look inside of it. And maybe there's something in there.
Your vibrator?
Yes.
No, stop it. Yes. I guessed it. I knew it.
I've literally been saving this story because it was when I came home from San Diego.
I just ruined it.
You guys, I've traveled. And if I decide to take a vibrator with me, I usually put it in my checked bag. But I didn't check a bag. And I was like, chance it. Okay.
I wonder how many times they've gone through your bag when you've checked it and then found it. Just, I don't know. I just imagine somebody like smelling it or like.
I mean, I wash it regularly, so.
Putting their hands all over it.
So I went to San Diego. No problem. Okay.
Okay.
Was coming home. Mm-hmm. Bag goes through. And this, they take my bag. Whose bag is this? And I was like, oh, it's mine. Start thinking like, what's in there? And I was like, oh. Takes it to the side. And, you know, I mean, the San Diego airport, there wasn't really a great place for me to like stand. Like usually they have like the table and you like stand on the opposite side of it.
Yeah.
There was like a lot of shit around that area. So I'm like, is there a good place for me to stand? So I'm standing there and he's like getting ready to look in there and he said, yeah, you know, there was something that was like shit. Like he kind of like did this shape thing.
No.
And just to give you an idea, it doesn't, I mean, if you saw it, you'd be like, that's a sex toy. But a lot of sex toys, you can get vibrators. They don't look like penises.
Right.
Right. And he starts explaining it to me and I was like, oh, and there's people all around me and I go, oh, that's definitely my vibrator. And he this older gentleman,
was he horrified?
No, almost like he wanted to react, but he was like also trying to like
be professional.
And I go, oh yeah, that's definitely my vibrator. And he goes, and he pauses and goes, Would you like to do a private screening? And I go, oh no. I'm like, I mean, honestly, this might be more embarrassing for you than it is for me. And
oh my God, he had to take it out and inspect
it? No. So he didn't take it out. He starts going through my bag and I go, oh, it's in the back. And I'm like letting him know where it's at.
Oh my God.
And he goes and gets one of those little swabs to like swab it for, you don't know,
explosives.
It's going to explode something, but there's going to be an explosion.
I would be, you handled it so well. I would have been like,
and I go, I said, I was like, honestly, I knew, because I wasn't checking back, I knew there was a possibility of this happening. I'm telling the guy. I go, and I figured if at any point, like, this interaction did happen, at least you would have something to talk about the rest of the day.
Right, you've got a good story to tell.
And then I went on my way.
Oh my gosh.
And then I went on my way.
That is funny.
So that happened.
That is slightly embarrassing.
And on that note, welcome to another episode of Between the Reps.
Yeah. Welcome to an episode of Between the Reps
with Brooke and Gina. You know what? I had an interview this morning. It was on the John Ramos show, Fox Sports Radio. Uh-huh. And it was like a Zoom interview. So it was a video too. I think it might run on their website or something like that. And he was just talking about how he's been watching like videos on my YouTube and like he's listened to some podcasts and doing all this stuff to try and get like prepare right. for our interview. And he had said he loved the podcast and he said it's very raw.
Oh, well.
He's like, you know, like you guys just talking. And I was like, yep.
Yep. Not that informative. Just
But he really
talking.
Liked it. And you know, it was a really nice compliment. He said he thinks that that's what podcasts should be, is people having a conversation and not some set, not like a bunch of like set up. I think he really liked it. Well, he did assume that our podcast is at the house on the couch because of quarantine, which no.
We usually have a really nice studio.
But he liked it.
But yeah.
Soon it'll be in the bus.
Very cool.
Yeah.
That is awesome.
You guys, it is, what's the date?
I don't know. Oh, it's Juneteenth. It's Juneteenth.
You guys, it's not Juneteenth when you listen to this, but
it's the 19th right now.
And
yeah, because we'll have another podcast come out before even this one.
Yeah.
I know a lot of people always think that we're not talking about things that are relevant, but it's just because we have other ones we have to put out.
And we apologize for that. And sometimes, like for instance, I'm going home over the 4th of July because my sister's having a baby.
So exciting.
And so for me to be able to go home to Utah, like me and Gina have to make sure we have podcasts recorded or I can't leave.
Well, especially since people didn't like when we did the one on the phone.
Yes. And my dad did tell me to tell Gina that he will bring her home with me.
He's so sweet.
One of these days she'll be like, okay. But usually she's like, I don't know if I can leave all my responsibilities.
I know. Well, I'll tell you what, this house that I built, it's the money pit. It is just taking all of my money. And I was, Brooke
Which
had invited
me. Which
is
why we are doing Brooke. So many ads, you guys.
Brooke had invited me to go to San Diego with her. And I loved the idea. I mean, like getting away and having fun with her family. That sounds super shitty. But then I realized I had a hair appointment coming up. And I thought, because she said, you know, you don't have to pay for a lot while you're down there. You actually don't have to pay for anything. Just like get your flight. And I'm looking on there and I'm thinking, okay, it's $300. Not horrible. But then I realized my hair appointment was coming up and I needed new hair. Mm. And I was like, well, that's like $500.
Like I think
everyone's like, Gina, why are you spending so much money on your hair? I have priorities, guys. Forget food, forget utilities. I'll have my extensions.
Listen, I just want hair.
I just need hair.
I wish I could grow my own hair.
I know. Well, so
anyways, the reason.
Oh, yeah.
Go ahead. Podcast is kind of like a catch-up podcast.
Yeah.
You know, we're chatting. We're going to answer some questions. We're going to, I don't know, probably talk about stupid shit. Like my vibrator being exposed at the airport, which honestly I was totally fine with because neutralizing pleasure.
That's stupid. Normalizing.
That's what I meant.
Neutralizing. I was like, how are you neutralizing
it? I mean, it's neutral.
It's a, yeah, no, it's okay.
Okay.
You're normalizing pleasure.
I'm trying to normalize self-pleasure.
Oh, that's a really good story. It's I guessed it too. I knew it.
Didn't we talk about that brand? That toy brand that wanted me to...
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm.
I haven't heard from them since, so...
Oh. Like, never mind. Well, so do you want me to read some questions?
Yeah, find one, and I'm just going to intro a potential interview we're going to do.
Okay.
I haven't even told you about it. I actually just reached out to her mom, actually, to see if she would be interested. Her name is Kiana Miller. Mm-hmm. And she is, I want to say she's 14.
Okay.
She's 14. And she's here in Santa Cruz. And she is a kick-ass surfer.
Oh,
she's
very
like
cool.
This incredibly talented, incredible surfer. And I talked to her mom, Amy. And I asked her, I was like, because, you know, she talks to me about her a little bit. And, you know, she's asked me if I would maybe even just talk with Kiana about stuff that she deals with, like with, you know, schoolgirls. And like,
oh, well,
mean girls.
Yeah,
you know?
I told you about my mean girl neighbor.
And just like, kind of getting into like a professional sport and dealing with some like scrutiny that comes with it. So hopefully, she said that she would love to do it. She's out of town on a surf trip right now. She gets back tomorrow, actually.
Oh, cool.
So hopefully we'll record next week with her and kind of just discuss. I think it'd be really cool to discuss what it's been like, you know, really just her story when she started.
Just to get a perspective from somebody that young.
Yeah. When she started, actually, I have to read this to you. So Amy, her mom, when I asked her, she texted this. She said, she would be happy to. She is on a surf camp trip and can't pronounce that. She won't be back until Saturday. When she was in the fifth grade, she wrote an essay on how women athletes will soon get paid the same as men. 4 years later, the women surfers get paid the same.
Oh, nice.
So yeah, she's just a really cool chick.
Like a cool little chick.
Yeah, that we got to talk to.
Well, I look forward to that.
Yeah.
I'm trying to figure out like, which,
did you find a question?
I mean, I have lots of them. I'm just trying to figure out what we want to delve into.
Just pick one.
Okay, here it goes.
Eeny, meeny, miny, moe.
Okay. We have... Okay.
Everyone's like, this is riveting.
I know. Okay. This is from Aaron Green. I'm struggling because I don't have my glasses.
Do you want me to read it?
Yeah.
Okay. Where are your glasses?
In my backpack.
Okay, and leave them. Okay, I absolutely love your podcast. Hearing you guys talk about nothing is one of my favorite parts of the week.
Thank you, love your
honesty and transparency. Clearly, I was very honest and transparent today. I've worked out for about 17 years doing various things ranging from years spent in a global gym setting, taking group fitness classes, outdoor running, at-home beach body workouts, especially during quarantine, and for the past 2 years, CrossFit, which I love. I've always paid attention to nutrition labels and tried to eat a balanced diet. I'm not overweight. In fact, I have a very muscular build and can relate to the stories that Brooke tells about people making her feel masculine because of her natural build. Assholes liked to pick on me for the same things. Since turning 35 last November, I feel like I'm noticing a change in my body. I just feel thicker, if that makes sense. Yes, it does. Especially around my midsection. Maybe it's just part of getting older, but I'm really trying to dial in my nutrition. I had great success with the RP diet about 18 months ago, but it was so tedious to weigh and measure every single thing that went into my body. I felt like I spent half of my meal time trying to log my food and measure it out. As a working mom of a six-year-old, I just can't. I've also counted macros and calories in my FitnessPal, which is easier in my opinion. I understand that the only way I know, The only way to know how much
I can see it from here. I can't see it up close.
Can you read it?
I can.
How much you're eating is to track it. True. Most recently, I've been doing a modified version of intermittent fasting where I don't eat a meal until lunchtime, then eat a balanced diet between early afternoon and 8 p.m. I start feeling really sick and nauseous mid-morning, so I sip on protein shake until early afternoon when I eat actual food. I know the shake technically breaks the fast, but I feel like I'll pass out and throw up at the same time.
Well, that's not good.
If I don't get a few sips in my stomach, I can't even fast correctly because I can't make it without the shake. All this to say, help. I'm obviously struggling to find something that fits. Was wondering how you eat. Do you still count macros? Are you winging it? Help a sister out. What are some good food options I can have on hand? I'm drinking 2 shakes a day because I'm out of ideas on how to get my protein without just sitting around eating meat all day. I also suck at meal prepping. I buy the food and have good intentions. Then I get an hour or two to myself on a Sunday afternoon, and the last thing I want to do is cook a week's worth of chicken. I guess that part is my fault, just being honest. Dude, I feel you.
Yeah, sounds very familiar.
Okay, let's answer the part about food. Mm-hmm. Yeah. I too, sort of fast a little in the morning, but also not to the standards of what, like you say, you sip on protein or you feel like you're going to pass out and vomit at the same time. For me, sometimes I will wake up at like 4 a.m. could be 3 a.m. could be 6 a.m. And if it's really early, I like have to eat something to help me go back to sleep. So I usually get up and I get like a half a piece of this gluten-free bread that I have, and I put peanut butter and jelly on it, and I eat that and go back to bed. seriously. And then because, depending on what time that was, sometimes it's like, you know, around 5 or, and I eat something like that. When I actually get up around 7:30, I don't normally eat first thing in the morning. Mm-hmm. I'll wait till about 11 or noon sometimes before I really eat something. Obviously that's not every day. Sometimes I will have like a small something, depends on how hungry I am or depends on what I'm about to do, like what my day looks like, what my training looks like. For me, food on hand, protein shakes are fantastic. For a lot of people, bars can work really well.
I have to really check the facts.
Obviously, I think that choosing to get your sustenance from things like protein shakes and bars primarily is not a great idea. It's definitely better for you, not only for training and recovery, but just your health, to be eating whole foods. And also, I'm actually looking more into it, but like eating seasonally mm-hmm. is really good for you. Stuff that I'll do if I'm on the go, I eat like sandwiches a lot, like really pretty plain. I should think Colby was laughing at this the other day. I'll just grab a piece of bread and put like mustard on there, pickles, and some meat, fold it up and eat that on the go. Mm-hmm. And it's really easy. You can also just prep that, which doesn't take very much time. I used to do a lot of, like, we used to meal prep, me and mm-hmm. Gina, and we would do like the Sunday thing, and we'd have dinner, but when we grilled, we would grill a lot.
Extra.
We'd do a bunch of extra. Now, what works best for me is I work with Trifecta. So Trifecta is an organic meal delivery service, fresh, never frozen. They can really tailor to your needs on the website. So you kind of sign up, you know, they offer, you can do like a paleo or keto or vegetarian or vegan, these options. And then from there, you can even be more specific. Or like what I used to do, and I started getting the meals, some meals, just this year. And I've actually quite enjoyed it. But before that, I only got a la carte. And so a la carte, I'd get like 2 pounds of chicken, sweet potatoes, rice, you know, they do a la carte vegetables. And then I would just already have stuff made. And then all I would have to do is prepare the meal, which I enjoyed doing the a la carte because you don't actually have to grill or cook all the meat. It's already done and it all reheats really well. And then what you can do is kind of make a salad with it or make a saute with it or put it in your eggs or do things like that, which takes a lot of that prep time out of there. Gina drinks a lot of protein shakes.
I do.
Because she, as we get older, but in general, you need just more protein. Need protein. You
I just older. Can't eat enough of it.
Yeah. And she doesn't, when she eats, can't eat. She actually just can't eat as much as she's supposed to.
Everyone's like, oh, you can't. Oh, you bitch.
Seriously. So for her, she drinks a lot of protein because she knows that when she does eat, like she's hungry and she eats, but it's not going to be the amount. Like she actually can't consume in a, like in a sitting, the amount of protein that she needs. Right. So she does supplement with scoops of protein powder early in the day and then at nighttime.
Yep.
Right.
Usually. Sometimes in the afternoon I'll do one.
Yeah.
Yeah. It was funny. My sister got some protein and she, somebody told her, you know, when you feel like you want to snack, then just make a protein shake. And, but she actually read the directions and it says 1 scoop per 8 ounces of water. And she said, it's so gross. She said, I can't drink it. And I said, no, you don't have to do it that way.
You do however you
want. Just do a little bit of water. And I was, you know, I've talked about it before. I literally do like 5 or 6 ounces of water and 3 scoops of protein. So it's, just, it's, and it's not like.
Gina likes to drink pudding. I know you've said
that before. It doesn't have that consistency, but it's just easier. It's just easier to drink that way. But yeah.
Other than that.
I know it's hard to say.
You kind of just have to, you have to dabble with like different things that kind of, you know, work for you as far as like snacks goes or meal prep. I think that if it's something that's a possibility for you, working with a company like Trifecta is a fantastic idea. Mm-hmm. So many people, their first reaction is like, oh, that's so expensive, but it is not. If you add up how much you spend at a grocery store, for me, it's almost daily.
Right.
Because I'm always, I just enjoy going to the grocery store. So I don't really go and buy for a whole week. I just buy for a few days and then I go back and get like fresh produce. Because I found when I buy too much produce at a time, it just goes bad before I can even use it.
Yeah.
It really, if you're not eating out and you're choosing to like really focus on your nutrition and you're eating at home, and you're not going to the grocery store and spending the like high dollar on the things like meat and a lot of produce that can be more expensive, you just put that toward a shipment that comes. Actually, it's on my counter right now. It showed up today. It comes every Friday and it's not frozen. It's fresh. It's vacuum sealed and you just put it in the fridge. Has like the dates to use it by. And the only meal that I've received that doesn't heat up super well is the ones that have pasta in it. And it's like the, cause they have like low calorie pasta and it looks like it'd be good. And then I've heated it 2 different ways, in the microwave, and all the pasta became one pasta. It like molded together. And I still tried to eat it. And then I was like, cause the flavor was so good.
Yeah.
And then I was like, oh no, I can't do it. And I ended up throwing that one away. Yeah. But, and then I tried the next time on the stovetop thinking like I'll heat it like
right, it'll separate
lower temperature,
it.
You know, and it still kind of molded together a little bit, but it was better.
So maybe it's just a little starchy or something.
Yeah. And I feel you on, I've never done RP. But I know
I tried.
I know people that
I
have
was
done
a giant
it
failure
and really enjoyed it and have seen like great success.
No, they
doing
see
it.
Results.
Yeah. For me, you got to find something that like is going to be the easiest possible way for you to find success. Sometimes I do think there is a lot for someone to you can learn from doing something like that where you do have to be regimented. You do have to weigh and measure. And after so long of doing that, you almost, like for me, like you almost do it naturally, can kind of like keep an idea of what you have eaten and the amounts. You start seeing things. You can kind of see how much of something you need without needing to weigh and measure it. So it's a nice little tool that after getting really used to it becomes very natural. As you get older, it does change.
Yes, it's harder.
And a lot of that has to do with too, like, your activity level or your training, like is it exactly the same as it was, or has that changed a little bit too? Because overall, we just have to pay attention to all the factors and then make adjustments that, you know, work with those, I guess.
And I liked her idea. If she has her numbers from RP, they kind of have numbers. Mm-hmm. They'll tell you how much of the protein, and they'll just tell you throughout the day. But you can add those up. And if you are using your Fitness Pal, if you're using it enough, like you said, you'll start to get an idea of like what that looks like.
Today's episode is brought to you by Angie. Angie has made it easier than ever to connect with skilled professionals to get all your jobs and projects done well. Let me tell you, there's the version of it where you try to do something at home, and then there's a version of it where you have someone help you, you watch them do it the right way, and you go, thank God I didn't try to do that myself. I have fully done things around the home that I think look good, and then a bang in the night, and I wake up to a shelf collapsing, a painting falling off the wall. Like, it, I've seen it all go south. I own a home, and I can tell you, I know how much work it can take. Whether it's everyday maintenance and repairs or making dream projects a reality, it can be hard just to know where to start. But now all you need to do is Angie that and find a skilled local pro who will deliver the quality and expertise you need. Whatever your home project, big or small, indoor or outdoor, you can Angie that and connect with skilled professionals to get the project done well. Right now, one of my wish lists is I want a bike for my condo in Milwaukee, and I would love to rig it up on a pulley in the ceiling because I have one of those like lofted ceilings, but I'm so scared to try that on my own. Angie has 20 years of home experience, and they've combined it with new tools to simplify the whole process. Bring them your project online or with the Angie app. Answer a few questions and Angie can handle the rest from start to finish, or help you compare quotes from multiple pros and connect instantly, which means you can take care of any home project in just a few taps. Because when it comes to getting the most out of your home, you can do this when you Angie that. Download the free Angie mobile app today or visit Angie.com. That's A-N-G-I.com.
And you asked if I am counting.
No.
I should.
She is should right be. Now. But you've also, you also, again, did it for a while.
So for a long time.
You have a good idea of what you're putting into your body when you are eating.
Yes.
Your brain's like a little calculator.
I took my first break from counting when I was, after I had my spine surgery. So after when I was like on recovery from my cervical fusion, that was the first time I didn't count and I just sort of intuitively ate. And when I did start, when I started training again to try and go back to regionals after that, and I started like doing my diet again, it was almost like I had just given myself like a really nice break. That so when I came back and started dialing things in and started counting, my body responded really well. I do not train the way that I did when I was training for competition. So I do not eat the way that I did when I was training for competition. And there are certain things that I enjoy that I never really, I guess, enjoyed that much when I was focused on training because I couldn't, right? So like I definitely drink alcohol more than I ever did because when I was competing, I never did,
right?
At all, rarely. And it was not because it wasn't allowed. It was because I was so hungry. I would rather eat those calories then drink them.
Right.
You know, and I remember me and Gina would hang out and she was like, I'd rather drink them and not eat them.
You know? I did.
She's, and, but like, she also has the gift of like not really wanting to eat big meals. And I'm over here like, lay off me. I'm starving.
Well, I think it's a difference too between somebody just trying to stay at a certain weight and then somebody yes. who's a, you couldn't do what I was doing and still be a high performance athlete. I've never been a high performance athlete. So
and
that's a very different
and
thing.
Also I, you know, I guess now I've been able over the course of years, been able to change my relationship with food in a sense that I do allow myself to have and indulge in certain types of foods more often, but I have way more like a sense of control that I'm not going to overdo it. And then just a sense of awareness in a way that I can enjoy it and not immediately feel like terrible guilt about eating it.
Right.
That was a big thing that I had to overcome too. Mm-hmm. It's like I would have, I don't know, a cookie or something. And it was like, all I did was feel so guilty Like, oh my God.
What have I done?
What have I done? I've ruined everything. Seriously. And now I'm just like, oh, my period's coming around. I blame it on my period. What's so funny is I was at my parents' house, not this last time I was there, but the time before. And I was just so hungry. Like, so hungry that my parents were laughing because in the morning they'd come out and, like, they're like, my dad's like, I heard you in the kitchen last night.
Just foraging around.
And
a little mouse.
And so I was blaming my hunger on my period. And my dad's like, so my dad started blaming his hunger on my period.
He's so funny. So she was also asking about, what do you keep on hand for food?
Yes.
And you answered some of that, but are there anything like besides just the-
So I have Bia bars that I really enjoy. It's B-I-A, Bia bars, and they're really good. They are, think like, if you know what a perfect foods bar is, it's definitely like a peanut butter, almond butter kind of based bar. With that said, I have those on hand for when I'm on the go and I need something. Also, sometimes I don't want to eat a big meal in the morning, but I am kind of hungry, so I'll have like a half of that with my coffee. Or I like riding my bike a lot. So if I'm training and like I'm doing something that's high volume, those are really great for me for just calories, especially if maybe I'm not super hungry, but I need to eat something. Other than that, the stuff I have on hand is like already made food, trifecta chicken.
Add some veggies, some rice.
Yeah. Throw everything on like lettuce. It's really, for me, I just like, if I need vegetables too, or maybe I'm hungry, but I can't eat the, like, for instance, I'm just really hungry, but I'm trying to not overeat or overdo something. I'll put everything on lettuce to give me volume. So
it's a filler.
Yeah, yeah, it is. It's a filler. What do you do, Gina?
Well,
on hand.
What I do is I'll make dinner a few times a week. I don't make dinner every single night. So what I try to do is make extra so that I have leftovers. So it's not exactly meal prepping. I'm not planning for the entire week because for me, I don't know what I'm going to want.
Exactly.
There's too many, and you'll get sick of the same thing. So I'm very impressive when people make food for an entire week, but you're pretty much eating the same thing all week. So I'll do a huge thing of enchiladas. We did one of our recipes on there. Super easy.
Same.
So
fast. I started making them because Gina was making them, and I go over to her house for enchiladas, and they're good.
So easy, so fast. Or I'll have I always have the low-cal flour tortillas. Love those. I love Dave's bread?
Dave's killer bread.
Dave's killer bread is so good. It's only, I think, 14 calories per slice because you get the thin sliced, and they just came out with a white bread.
Ooh.
I've eaten wheat bread for so long, or, you know, multigrain.
You're soaked. It'll be like a treat.
And the white bread is so good. So I do a lot of sandwiches like Brooke does, but I just make sure, you know, a lot of people put like two slices of turkey in there. You got to get a big old, you got to pile it.
I pile it on there so much that like that thin bread starts to split.
It's busting out. I'm busting out of here. And mustard, stay away from, you know, mayonnaise, even though it's good.
I definitely use it on mine.
See, I just do mustard.
But that's also because I'm like,
I feel like mustard takes over the mayonnaise taste. So why put it in there?
Well, recently I've done a little bit of mayo and then I put Frank's hot sauce in there.
Oh, see?
And
there
I
you go.
Mix it up. And
like
then
that?
That's on one.
With
that's
your
on,
hand?
That's on one slice. Uh-huh. And then on the other half, I do mustard.
Okay.
And then I do pickles and just meat and lettuce. If I want to do any, I rarely have sliced cheese at my house.
Yeah, I don't do
but
cheese.
But I have had it. And it's usually because I have some certain things that if I'm making food for other people, I like to have stuff that actually tastes good for other people. And so sometimes I'm like, yeah, I want cheese on there. Oh, actually, Laughing Cow cheese.
Oh, you do like, love that. Little wheel.
Yeah. So Laughing Cow, they have like the light Swiss cheese or like, but it's like soft cheese. Mm-hmm. They come in little triangles.
Triangles. Mm-hmm.
And
it's like if it was a wheel that was cut up.
Yeah. Low calorie, tastes great. It spreads really easily. So sometimes if I do sandwiches, I put that on there and then I don't do mayo or anything. I just do pickles, mustard, lettuce, meat, and it's bomb. And sometimes I never used to buy like salami.
Oh, salami's so
good. And now I buy salami and I'll put a few pieces of that on there.
Mm. Yeah, you just have to do a couple. That's what I do.
That's all you need.
Ton of turkey and then just a couple slices. Because
it's so flavorful.
Yeah.
It's so really flavorful. Good. Like feta cheese. Feta is a great cheese if you're like, I love cheese and I know I shouldn't be eating it. Feta is great because you don't need a lot of it mm-hmm. to add a little bit of flavor to your salad, to whatever, really.
Yeah.
It's bomb.
I don't know if that helps.
They're like, well, this didn't answer any of my questions. Also, I love veggie chips.
Oh. Mm-hmm.
If you are looking for something that's
and hummus.
A snack or whatever, hummus, veggie chips, salsa, bitchin' sauce.
Stuff with flavor.
So good. Bitchin' sauce. If you haven't had
I think we've talked about it before.
Oh, my gosh. It's so good. And it's also one of those things that I have to sort of hide from myself in the fridge.
You could probably put that on a sandwich.
I have. It's bomb. And then you were discussing, you asked about, you know, you wanted some help because you're 35 and you're finding that you feel really thick. Listen, I feel you on that. I've always had a lot of muscle, but like, especially just being, having more size on your body, muscle, when you are bloated or retaining water, or maybe you just have a few extra pounds on, it does, like for me, it's like, I do feel just thicker, like in my clothes. If I can maintain a little bit more of like a, it's literally a matter of like a few pounds that I can finally, I feel a little more comfortable in my clothes. If I do that, it's like, I feel better about my body or my size, or even just like healthier. I just feel healthier. I obviously don't know exactly what you're eating or what your training regimen looks like, but rule of thumb, if you are not training to be or as a high performance athlete, try cutting back your carbohydrates. And I don't want to say up your fat, because I guarantee you're already getting more than enough. And that's not because I'm like making assumptions about you. I'm making assumptions about everybody. There is fat in everything. Like even me explaining my sandwich, like salami.
Yeah.
Full of it. You know, so it's like you do trade-offs. If I do eggs and I want bacon, I do egg whites because I want to do bacon. If I'm not doing bacon, I might have a whole egg instead of just egg whites, you know, and that's just me choosing where I get that fat from, because fat packs a serious punch. And for me, if I am overdoing my fat, even just a little, I feel puffy. I'm a little softer. And that it could just be because I've eaten and trained in a way that I just function better with fueling my body with carbohydrates over fat. Also, I don't digest it super well, and I'm in the process of trying to, like, you know, understand my gut health more. But maybe try and play with something like that. Maybe cut out. Maybe if you are someone who you're like, I already don't eat any fat, then maybe go the opposite way. Right? Maybe if you're not eating any fat and you're eating too many carbs and you're feeling this certain way, maybe try cutting down your carbs, upping your fat. Or if you're like, I eat tons of fat and no carbohydrates, then drop your fat, up your carbs. And then whatever you choose to do, be consistent with it and give yourself at least like a week to really see how you're going to respond.
Yeah, it's not going to be overnight.
Yeah, you need to allow yourself, whatever you do, whatever changes you make with your diet, unless you have like a drastic, let's say you're trying to lose like 100 pounds, right? At that point, it's like, we know we got to cut calories. But if you're just trying to make little changes because, you know, you're trying to just change things a little bit, like not drastically, already it might be a little bit harder for you to make, see those changes happen, but you don't want to do anything drastic to your diet. No. Like try something a little bit smaller and then give your body some time to actually adapt to that change and then be consistent with it. And then you'll be able to see, like, is my scale going down? Is it going up? Am I feeling better?
My inches going down.
Yeah. Like, and then just pay attention to all those markers and then change it accordingly. And we believe in you.
You can do it.
You can do it.
You can do it.
Right now, I am trying to do a 2-week shred.
What?
2-week shred.
Yeah, bro.
Yeah. No, I'm okay. Going. I'm going home for
I'm
the
doing a 2-week shred. Look, you like go shred. Surfing twice, and now see what happens to you.
2-week shred, bro.
Eats one salad.
So healthy.
Shredded.
No, I'm going home for the 4th of July. And
so you're going to get shredded before you go?
Dude, just trying to tighten things up a little bit. All right. So last night at dinner, I drank water.
Oh, good job.
Step one.
I did not. I drank a bottle
well,
of wine.
Well, you weren't with me, so solidarity didn't work.
I know.
If we're together, it's solidarity.
I'm the bad influence in your life.
I did it to you the other day.
You did do it to me.
I did. I'm like, what the fuck, Gina? You solidaried me? I'm going to solidarity you. Get a drink.
I like to pick and choose. Oh, that's funny. We want another question?
Yes, please.
Okay. This is from Fallon Savage. Very cool name. Hello, Brooke and Gina, longtime listener here, forever a fan, truly. First, I want to say thank you for doing your part in amplifying Black Lives Matter posts and going out to a protest. Every voice is so important, but yours is even more so. LOL, no pressure or anything because it can reach so many at once. Second, I have a question about Ultimate Tag and a neighbor problem. I want to run by you both because I wonder what you would do.
Okay.
Okay. An Ultimate Tag, how firm, this is obviously for you.
Not for you?
No. An Ultimate Tag, how firm is the padding that is everywhere? I am watching episode 3 as I type this, and man, I can't believe how cool it is. Also, how did you feel being in front of a live audience again?
The padding is pretty firm. It has to be firm enough for us to be able to run and jump and do things right. on. You know what I mean? Like, you
so
can't,
it's not super cushy.
If it's the only episode or the only game that had pretty cushy padding was the one that they had to tag the button.
Oh.
They had to hit the button and there was trampolines because you could run and jump on the tramp and literally dive for the button.
Was that the first one?
No.
I saw
it's
that
like
one.
The, I saw it's like, I know, but I think it's like game number 3. One. You've seen it. It's on every episode.
I haven't watched all the episodes. Oh. I was like feeling bad. Like, oh, I haven't
no,
watched
it's on every episode. That's the only one because people are literally jumping in the air.
Oh, okay.
Other than that, stuff's pretty padded, but I beat the shit out of myself for 2 weeks.
Poor thing.
You know, I think like running and jumping full speed and you shin stuff sometimes.
Oh yeah, I bet.
Or in my case, I think it was on the last episode because on my interview this morning, he referenced it and I was like, how embarrassing. I got into a foot race with these chicks that were so fit. One of them being, she was a CrossFitter, which also was very cool doing Ultimate Tag. I had no idea who the competitors were. They had no idea who the taggers were. And apparently I had a lot of people competing that were big supporters of mine.
Oh, that's
so
cool.
So it was very cool, especially because I was brought in so last minute that I had no idea what the fuck I was doing, right. Literally.
Right.
And so that was, it made it a little bit more exciting for me. Live audience. It was crazy. Also funny because the live audience, they are people like they are like extras.
Oh, they're not.
So they do like what's really cool is like they get to come and watch the whole thing. And it's not like they've seen it and they don't work there all the time. Mm-hmm. But it is a show. So, you know, they kind of, they know when they have to like really cheer, like different people were, you know, fans of different taggers and they passed out like different signs people had, but they're pretty much like they're enjoying it, but also kind of acting a little bit too,
right.
You know, and that's important because
they're being cued.
It's a TV show. You need to be, I mean, none of it was set up like the game,
right?
The only time they ever had to stop a game and restart it is if someone got hurt or something happened where they couldn't see if the tag was pulled and literally they would stop you exactly where you were and they would replay footage and have to like do like a pickup.
Oh,
so
okay.
Like you wouldn't even move. Like they would, you go to your spot.
You're just midair. Hold it.
Yes. But yeah, it was different. Yeah. I've never been in front of a studio audience.
Yeah.
Except for the ones that are here right now.
Right.
Watching this podcast.
Thank you, Eric.
Thank you for coming.
Thank you, everybody.
Thank you guys so much for listening to the podcast. We really appreciate you and want to stay connected with you. So please rate, review, and subscribe to help this podcast grow.
And if you like the podcast, get the word out.
And now back to the show.
Okay.
Neighbor problem. You can answer this for sure.
I don't know. I just found out my neighbor doesn't like me, guys.
Apparently, her neighbor said the entire neighborhood doesn't like her.
All the neighbors don't like me. I was like, really? Nobody? Not any of them?
And we found out that her neighbors are peeping Toms because they were peeping over into Gina's yard when me and Daniel and Colby were taking photos for Enswear.
I know.
And somehow that turned into a negative experience for that person.
My son's fiance does her hair, I guess. And so she was over the other night, had all the kids over, and she goes, well, the neighbor below you is having a wedding, and so she really wants to make sure you're not having anything on that day. And I said, okay, that's fine. I won't make a bunch of noise. And she's telling me all this stuff that the neighbor complains about me all the time to her. And she goes, I feel bad for telling you, but maybe you should go over and introduce yourself. I'm thinking, I'm not going to go over and introduce myself now. There's no way. When I first moved into the neighborhood, I sent letters out with my phone number on it because we were working on the house. So I felt like I had initiated that. Maybe I should go door to door during a pandemic and introduce myself. I don't know. I don't know what the right thing is to do.
No.
So yeah, I guess she was telling her that I released rats into her yard.
She said,
and I blow stuff into their pool and I'm very loud. And I'm thinking, they've had about 6 different parties since
I
moved
in there.
Yeah, I was just
there and they were having a bachelorette party in their backyard that ended at like 8 p.m.
All this during a pandemic. They're having a 60-person wedding in their backyard. So yeah, anyway, I was told that she says that nobody likes me. I said, I feel like I'm the new girl at high school
again. I told Gina,
and this is a mean
being
girl.
Liked is overrated.
This is so funny. Okay, so second question. I rent a split house on the second floor over a family of 4. I work at 6 a.m. almost every day. Since the kids are out of school, the downstairs 13-year-old keeps having sleepovers in the backyard and making noise till probably 3 a.m. on average. I tried talking to the parents, but all they do is yell at the kid and then let her have another sleepover the same night. That sucks. The other day I caught boys trying to jump the fence to join the party. What do I do to get some peace? I sent my landlord a letter today, but I thought I could reason with them first. Gina, help. Do I booby trap the yard Home Alone style, passive aggressively man spread on the porch?
Yes.
Any advice would help. Love always. You both rock. And I can't wait to try the menswear. That's very cool.
Man spread for sure.
Man spread. I don't know. That might get you arrested. I wouldn't do that.
You know what? I would scare him. I would scare him.
I feel like if you could be a real dick and if there are boys jumping the fence, you could go tell on her. Actually, you should corner the kid and tell her that you're going to tell her parents.
Yep.
And then
I know
maybe
what
she'll
I know what you did last night.
She'll stop having
what?
Sleepovers.
Yeah, I saw. What are you talking about? Listen, you have one more fucking sleepover party. And I'm definitely going to tell
video.
Your parents. I've got video of the boys jumping
the
fence,
into the yard.
Sneaking over.
Yeah, that's hard.
Man.
I mean, it sucks. I understand you're not trying to be a dick. Obviously, when you live in close quarters, that you have to be... You have to understand that they want to have fun.
Dude, we need to have Courtney answer this question. I know. Courtney lives in a place right now and like through, so she's been working at home. And she's like working from home and the neighbor kids, like during quarantine.
Like during the pandemic had, what'd she say, like 20 kids back there. Maybe that was an over-exaggeration,
was
but
almost,
a lot of
kids. It was
kids.
As if like all the parents, like in the, it's like she lives in a townhome sort of,
thing.
Yeah, like cul-de-sac or whatever. Mm-hmm. So all of them are very close together. And it was, she said it was almost like all the parents right there just sent all their kids to one house.
Jumping on the trampoline every day.
And she, you know, has to deal with that noise. And then the second that she does a workout in her garage, they all complain about her working out and the weights banging.
Yeah.
You know, I would just, if it continues, maybe don't tell the parents. Maybe, yeah, like Gina said, talk to the kid directly.
but make sure nobody sees you.
No, just be super nice about it. Just be like, hey.
Hey, psst.
Super fun that you're having sleepovers. That's, I remember when I used to do that. I remember when I used to jump fences to see girls. Yeah, you know.
This is terrible advice, by the way. don't do this.
But maybe she needs to hear it from you. Like, hey, totally cool that you are able to hang out with your friends and have people over. That's really cool. I used to love doing that. I work super early. I have to be up and I would really appreciate it if you could keep it down.
I honestly don't know why parents are letting, I mean, that's pretty shitty. You don't let a kid have a sleepover constantly, like every night.
Yeah.
Every night. I mean, come on. Every night till 3 a.m.? When my kids had sleepovers, they had a time they had to go to bed.
Get some water balloons.
This is really bad. One time Jordan, it was for his birthday, and I told him, I said, you guys have to go to bed. I think I let them stay up till 1 or something like that.
Ooh.
And our game room where they would all sleep because it had the big TV in it and stuff, mm-hmm. was right above our bedroom. And so they're just being obnoxious and laughing. And I'll tell you what, I do not miss sleepovers at all.
I never had them at my house.
Really?
Never.
Your parents were smart.
I never had them at my house. And I don't even know if it's because my parents said no or if I was too nervous about having them at my house. I never even offered.
Right.
And the only time there were sleepovers at my house was like my cousin would sleep over. And you know what happened to me when that happened?
So you never had big sleepovers?
Not really at my house.
For birthdays or for?
Lots at other friends' houses.
Yeah. That was smart never of your parents.
Mine. Also, probably because you really couldn't. There was no room for air at my house.
Right.
Lots of room for air at my friends' houses. Stay up late.
Right.
No problem.
So one time I actually went upstairs. I had warned them a couple times. I was exhausted. And I think they were like 11 or 12. And I think there were about 8 kids up there. And I told them, I said, you know, when you're a kid, it's so embarrassing when your mom is mean to your friends.
Yep.
I finally went up there and I said, one more time. And I'm coming up here and I'm sleeping up here with you. And
his friends are probably like, you can sleep by me.
No. Gross. No. No.
Mrs. Chancharula.
I awkwardly had one of Jordan's friends at one of the parties that we had. I think he was in middle school. He was in 8th grade. This kid was just little Don Juan or something. He came over and was pretending to give me a lap dance.
Oh,
it's like,
oh,
dude,
gosh.
Get away from me.
Robinson.
I was like, get away from me. No, but, and I did because they made more noise. And I said, that's it. And I went upstairs and I took a blanket and a pillow and I laid on the floor. And every time they'd start talking, I go, tsh, 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 tsh. And they finally all fell asleep. And then I went back downstairs and went to sleep. It was annoying. So yeah, that's a tough situation because you have parents that are letting their kids run rampant. And that's not good.
Maybe you could just talk to the parents and say, hey, I want to run this by you.
Well, he already did. That's
I know,
what he's
but
saying.
This is a new idea.
Oh, again. Okay.
I just want to run this idea by you. I'm going to be packing water balloons.
That's called assault. You can't do that.
Don't hit them, but land the water balloon near them. You know?
You can release rats into their yard.
Listen, nowadays, that probably would be assault. When I was growing up, assault. That would have been fair game, 100%.
Yeah, no, it's assault. Just water balloon launcher, just taking kids out right and left.
Yeah.
You're stuck in a spot. Well, you're letting your landlord know, and that's good. I mean, that's the only thing you can do. You've done everything you can. You've talked to the parents. That's the responsible thing to do. You know, the other thing, like I said, you can snitch her out.
Or
be a snitch and tell the parents that she's having boys over.
Also, when it's happening, when you're like trying to go to sleep and they're just loud as fuck, just go out the door and say, hey, keep it down. Or I'm going to call the cops. Dude, that would work for sure.
I don't know if that works for kids anymore. I don't think they're scared of anything.
I mean, you might as well try it.
I know. You could try it.
Or you say
Why
something
don't you
like, or you say
a
something
bad
like
smell.
Or you say, Don't make me come over there.
Get a garden hose.
Release a bad smell.
Yeah, just release a bad smell. Find something that's really sulfuric or something. Yeah, sulfury
just,
smelling.
Dude, just hard boil a bunch of eggs. And then somewhere near let where they rot. Are, like sneak out there ninja-like and just push them. I'm picturing them all sleeping on a trampoline because we used to do that a lot.
Yeah.
So somehow get those eggs under the trampoline. Uh-huh.
Yeah.
And then they'll go inside.
I think he's hearing it through the, actually, now that I'm thinking, I think maybe he's hearing it through the wall because he shares an apartment. What could you do through the wall?
Ooh.
Yeah, you should probably scare the shit out of him.
You probably should scare him. Mm-hmm. You should definitely scare him.
Start making him think their house is haunted.
Dress up like a big, big scary person and just like walk by the window at night.
I used to do that to my sister. We had this old man mask.
Yeah.
And I would just stand outside the window and I go ding, 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 ding. Freak her out.
Dude, my brother had masks when I was little. I vividly remember him wearing one of his scary masks and I probably was like six chasing me around the house. And I'd just like crying and he was just chasing me and I was just like, stop it, Cody. And he'd go, I'm not Cody. Dude, my siblings were mean.
I know. We were all mean to each other too.
My sister would pick me up from dance and I remember if I was pissing her off in the car ride home, there was this cornfield isn't there anymore, but she'd pull over to the side of the road and tell me she was going to make me get out and walk home and the boogeyman was going to get me. Oh. Oh yeah, I'm the youngest of four.
So mean.
Yep, she loves me now though. That's actually who I'm going home to see. She's having a baby.
Dude, we did something really, this is embarrassing to admit actually. This is really bad. I would kill my kids if they did this. My poor sister Erica, I think it was Krista and I, we were smoking a cigarette. So I was probably like 16, you know, I was like, you know, this moody coffee shop smoker.
This moody smoker. Black
lipstick, such a rebel. And I think Krista and I, Erica was with us. And we were going to smoke a cigarette and we made her take a drag off it so that we, if she told on us, we would tell them that she smoked too.
Smart.
Then she became a smoker for a while. Oh, it was our fault. Horrible. God, this is so awful.
That is pretty
bad. I just
thought
of that. God, I'm such a shitty person. Oh, man. All right. Well, Fallon, I don't know if any of that helped, but I don't know.
Diet can be tricky, man.
Diet?
Diet, nutrition.
Oh, no, I was taught Fallon's the one with the kids.
Oh, yeah. Kids can definitely be tricky.
Kids are definitely tricky.
And honestly, I'm trying to, I imagine it from like what my perspective would have been as a kid. Mm-hmm. And clearly they're used to being yelled at by their parents because if the parents have yelled, and then they continue to have sleepovers.
There's not a lot of consequences.
Zero consequence. And parents aren't holding up, you know.
They're into the bargain.
They're into the bargain. So maybe in the middle of the sleepover and it's so loud, I would just go and knock on the door. Maybe like, excuse me. I understand you're having so much fun. But I'm not.
I'm wondering how the
can
parents,
we create a schedule here?
How like, are the parents sleeping through it? Because when my kids were up, we had a fairly large house when they were growing up, and I could hear everything that was going on in the house.
They're probably passing out.
Yeah, are they? Yeah, they take maybe Ambien or something. They're just out. I don't know. All right.
Well, you guys, we've talked about some stuff and also absolutely nothing for the last 55 minutes.
Yeah. We had some other questions that we wanted to answer. And obviously there's a lot going on in our world right now, still in the CrossFit community and with Black Lives Matter. And we still want to maybe talk about that a little bit, but probably not today because it would take too long.
Well, and realistically this, I've definitely received some questions about everything's happening in CrossFit. If you're listening and you're like, why, what's happening? I'm not the person to tell you. So just Google it.
Yeah.
But in a nutshell, it's crumbling. But also, not quite sure if it's going to crumble. But it's crumbling. And for people that have been asking me about it, I do not have anything besides an opinion. And I'm not going to give that because it's not going to make anything better and it's not going to make anything worse. I never worked there. I was a contracted analyst at the CrossFit Games, but I never worked in the office. I spent a lot of time there, but again, it's a big company. So some of the stuff that's like happening right now, it's not as if every person that worked there could maybe really understand some of the things that have been talked about.
Right.
You know what I mean? If you guys don't, if you're wondering about this, you can check out Andy Stumpf, Stumpf, S-T-U-M-P-F. P-F.
Mm-hmm. His podcast.
Good dude. On his podcast, he talks about this whole conundrum explosion of CrossFit. And he worked there for a long time. Me did not work there. You know, my opinion of how they ran the business, I just never thought it was really ran like a good business. And that's because I have two parents that own their own businesses, very successful people. And from the moment I was introduced to CrossFit, I was like, this is not structure. This has no structure. This makes no sense. This isn't ran like anything that's going to last a long time. This has a timestamp. And guess what? The timestamp has been stamped. So your guess is as good as mine as to what's going to come of everything that's happening.
Well, and time will tell. We can't sit here and speculate on something that we really don't know enough about.
And that's why, if you're wondering why we haven't talked about
it. Sure, we have an opinion, but that's what's that going to...
Yeah.
What's that going
to
do?
It's like all we're going to do is we're just going to add to, you know, add fuel to the fire and... No need for it. It has enough already.
Yeah.
And then I think it's super important just to remember that aside from the problems that are being, I don't know if they're being dealt with right now, but things that are happening at CrossFit HQ, that is separate from, you know, the community,
the community
that has been built, you know, and a thing with like the affiliation program. You know, it's done in a way that affiliates have a lot of power. They pay their fee, they use the name, and then they work with the affiliation team because it's important for CrossFit HQ and people that work with affiliates to make sure there aren't gyms out there that are like really doing stuff to like harm, like dirty the name or like, you know, but they allow each business to sort of decide how they're going to run it. They have a lot of power. They make their own decisions. They choose their own pricing. You know, they do their own programming, like everything like that. So definitely don't assume that because of what's happening with CrossFit HQ, with Greg, that all of a sudden don't lump the whole world of CrossFit
community
into one thing.
Yeah.
You know, it is different. It is separate. And just because there's some negative stuff that's being brought up from HQ, that also doesn't mean that every person that worked for HQ is tied into that.
Right.
You know, this needs to be dealt with, and clearly it's being dealt with. I don't know exactly how, because it's not my place to insert myself into something that has nothing to do with me. So I am, as we learn stuff, we can discuss it or fill you in. But as of right now, not really sure what's happening with all of it. I just know that a lot of things have been brought up and it's public and it's upset a lot of competitors that have pulled out of the CrossFit Games, which already made no sense that they were doing the CrossFit Games this year.
With a pandemic?
Yeah, really weird.
I know.
I mean, they're doing the Rogan, they just did the Rogan Invitational.
I know.
It was all like each person at home on Zoom. I'm like, that's boring.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm not doing it. So obviously it's not boring for someone who really wanted to compete in that competition. But for me, it's like, you know, all these events have been canceled and you're still going to try and do the CrossFit Games. Like, you're literally setting yourself up in California for the state to shut you down when everyone's here.
Yeah.
But who knows? I hope that things get worked out.
Yeah.
And
well, and our gym deaffiliated.
Yes. So our CrossFit gym is now West Fitness.
Mm-hmm.
And it's epic. So if you're in Santa Cruz, come on by.
Come on by.
A lot of gyms have deaffiliated. To be completely honest, a lot of gyms have been around a long time. They don't need to be affiliated to be successful. What
the gyms that would really like need that is like newer gyms, because it's like it gives them credibility to the like to
right, you
know, the community wherever they're located. But
not anymore.
Not anymore. Now it, you know, who knows? Maybe it'd be fine, or maybe it would like be worse for you.
Yeah.
Who knows?
I mean, maybe. I'm not going to say it. Again, speculating.
Some of you are no definitely idea. Listening right now thinking like, what the fuck? Why are you tiptoeing around just, something? We're not tiptoeing around anything.
We just don't know enough about it. And we can, you know.
In a nutshell, there was some insight that was brought up about Greg Glassman from Andy Stumpf, someone who worked there for a very long time. And it was kind of a response to stuff that was happening from Twitter, because Greg had made some tweets that were pretty insensitive and just poor timing. And that's how the conversation got brought up, which also dug up some more dirt. Sort of dirt. And if you want to know specifics, go ahead and listen to Andy Stump's podcast. He's a friend of mine. He used to work there,
yeah.
But very well spoken. Yeah. And if you really don't care, that's okay too. We're just touching on it for the people that are wondering. And from this point on, unless there's something that we really feel like we need to share with you, we're just not going to talk about it, because it's not our place to make speculation from, you know, I don't want to add to something that has nothing to do with us.
Yeah.
And if you're wondering, if you're wondering like, Brooke, you do CrossFit and you're big in the CrossFit community, it has everything to do with you. It really actually doesn't, because like I said, the CrossFit community is so much bigger and more than just what happened only at CrossFit HQ.
Good answer.
Bam.
Oh, mic drop.
Yeah. On that note, we've been on this for an hour, and people probably are sick of listening to us talk about nothing. And we are going to go right now after we say goodbye, and Gina is going to try out her new tap shoes.
Oh, yeah. I got new tap shoes, guys.
Yep. We ordered some new tap shoes. I've got mine. We've got a piece of wood.
Uh-huh.
And we're going to tap.
We're going to go tap-tap-a-roo.
Yeah. So.
All right, guys.
So thank you for listening.
Yes.
Don't forget to rate, review, subscribe.
Five-star rating, five-star warning. And we'll talk to you guys next week. Yep.
Bye.
Today's episode is brought to you by Angie. Angie has made it easier than ever to connect with skilled professionals to get all your jobs and projects done well. Let me tell you, there's the version of it where you try to do something at home, and then there's a version of it where you have someone help you, you watch them do it the right way, and you go, thank God I didn't try to do that myself. I have fully done things around the home that I think look good, and then a bang in the night, and I wake up to a shelf collapsing, a painting falling off the wall. Like, I've seen it all go south. I own a home, and I can tell you, I know how much work it can take. Whether it's everyday maintenance and repairs or making dream projects a reality, it can be hard just to know where to start. But now all you need to do is Angie that and find a skilled local pro who will deliver the quality and expertise you need. Whatever your home project, big or small, indoor or outdoor, you can Angie that and connect with skilled professionals to get the project done well. Right now, one of my wish lists is I want a bike for my condo in Milwaukee, and I would love to rig it up on a pulley in the ceiling, because I have one of those like lofted ceilings, but I'm so scared to try that on my own. Angie has 20 years of home experience, and they've combined it with new tools to simplify the whole process. Bring them your project online or with the Angie app. Answer a few questions and Angie can handle the rest from start to finish, or help you compare quotes from multiple pros and connect instantly, which means you can take care of any home project in just a few taps. Because when it comes to getting the most out of your home, you can do this when you Angie that. Download the free Angie mobile app today or visit Angie.com. That's ANGI.com.